welcome to I'm Not Famous here on Project Nerd. I'm your host, Iggy, and I'm joined, as always at this point, second episode, with Carrie. But we are also featuring our friendly fire breather here, Mr. David Gisbert.
Hey.
How are you doing today, man?
Doing fantastic.
Awesome.
Appreciate
awesome.
It. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So we are, it's funny because last episode we had D on, we talked costumes. Carrie didn't know a whole lot about it.
I had no idea. Well, are you cosplay or are you in costume? So we had to go through and identify
that. And then we talked anime, which I also don't know about. But now we're heading into a whole new world where, I think I'm as oblivious as Carrie. And that's saying a
lot.
So you are a fire performer, fire breather.
Yes.
Fire player, fire starter, fire.
Yeah, it's all really great adjectives.
All good to describe it.
Fantastic. Fire performer is a really great way to describe it. And it's fascinating and utterly awesome to be doing. I mean, it's possibly my favorite art to be doing. And it's actually just so exhilarating and extremely fun.
Where do you get, because it seems like it's adrenaline, right? Because there's a danger element to it.
Yeah, totally.
Is it the adrenaline that's kind of driving you as you're performing?
Oh, yeah. The sound of the fire and the way that it whips around you and the way that you have to manipulate the props or whatever you're using really causes a huge dynamic to how you move around and stuff like that. And it is an adrenaline rush in a lot of ways, yeah.
So you're saying that you're twirling. What does your performance look like visually?
For fire breathing, it's just me in either a costume or anything like that, mainly just dressed up in a cool manner. And then just me doing some really technical hard tricks to do. It's not just a simple blast. I'm more of on that, how I said, technical side where I'll be able to split the flames into two or three splits or to manipulate the fire.
It's like
I can spin around.
Smoke rings coming out.
Yeah, like the same thing. If there's a really good photographer, they could actually capture that that I can do. I've been something that I've been wanting to do with your friend here, Jeff. Behind the scenes.
Oh, is he a really good photographer?
No, yeah, he's fantastic. I've worked with him a couple times.
He's a great fluffer. Yeah. I can't wait. I'm sorry.
You looked at the wrong camera. That camera can see you. You looked at the wrong camera.
No, so when you're talking about it, you went from, you twirl it, I assume, right?
Mm-hmm. Other props and things.
Now you're talking about blowing out a fire ring, a fire O, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, or mainly when you expel the fuel that's from my mouth.
Right.
And then you attach it to any fire source, it creates the mist that I create, that fire, the mist is so fine that the moment the fire touches it, that's what really creates the explosion of fire and everything around it in general. So if you were to just spit in a stream of little water, it won't set on fire.
Okay.
But if you missed it in a very large cloud and that little particles just attached to each other the moment the fire hits and just explosion happens.
I want to go back to what you said. Because I'm a huge fan. I thought it was ethanol, it's gas. But is that what you're actually expelling, that mist?
No, it's actually a special fuel
that
we use. I try not to say too much about it because I don't want other people to get hurt unless they're actually taught how to do fire breathing and other fire arts. So there's a lot of outlets.
We're gonna give now the ingredients.
Yeah, just go ahead.
The rainbow.
Yeah,
just please do this at home.
I never want to say it's easy, but I mean already in just a few seconds here, it's sounding incredibly more complex than even
I thought
it was. And again, I never didn't think it was easy. I'm never gonna be I'll just spit fire. But you're already talking about if you do the stream, it's a mist, and then you gotta do it. It's already
there's a lot
a
of
million.
Technique.
But what's crazy, and not just in fire breathing or performing, but in many performing arts, it just magnifies that point that you've got 20 things rolling through your head at any moment of I've gotta here in 2 seconds, I've got to do this thing exactly right with this thing going on and then be ready to do this thing immediately after and all that. Mm-hmm. And it just adds the complexity of performing arts in general.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
I think, but it's crazy to be twirling and then, I don't even, I'm just no, I can't. So, you mentioned the special fuel, which we'll call special fuel.
Special fuel.
That's obviously is it something that's dangerous to swallow?
And, oh, yes.
Yeah, so it's very...
Yeah.
Do you rinse your mouth out afterwards?
Oh, yeah.
Or are you okay?
Yeah, there's a lot of safety precautions that take in a lot of practice and technique that's used behind just to even make it happen and to be safe in just general.
Mm.
Fire breathing is considered the most difficult and most dangerous fire performance art. along with a couple other different styles of performance art, but like as far as fire performance, it's considered one of the worst, most dangerous ones.
So what's your favorite aspect? Do you like the breathing part more, or do you like juggling, or is there anything else you do with the fire that's like your favorite?
Oh, yeah.
Like you're like, this is my, the piece de jour, the piece that comes. Like, all what's right. the best part of it when you're like, I'm going to do this right?
Yeah, I really love the fire breathing, but I use other props as well. I don't know if you ever heard of a rope dart?
No.
Okay, you guys seen Kill Bill?
Yes.
You remember Gogo when she was like swinging around that chain and she was like kicking the chain?
Yeah.
And it was like flying with that really heavy ball on the end? Those techniques that she uses for rope dart. So it's a martial arts weapon, Chinese martial arts weapon to be exact. And you manipulate the rope and with the head, and it's usually like a dagger or a ball at the end of it, and you use it as a weapon. You know, kick it or move around it, and you kick someone's ass with it, basically. Okay. But nowadays, they've transversed it into like a fire prop. So like you can do the same exact thing. You can light the Kevlar head on fire after you soak it in fuel, and you do the same techniques, and you move around with it. And it's one of my favorite props that I love using because it makes me feel like a ninja. And you know, like, I mean, it is martial arts, but there's a lot of things that you can kind of like dance and move around with it and get like a lot of different manipulative movements instead of just like I'm kicking people's butts. Mm-hmm. Invincible ninjas kind of idea. You know?
I mean, Invincible Ninja is pretty good to start with. Now you're adding fire to it. Okay.
Totally.
So I know like a lot of times, like I've been to like the music festivals, like Arise here mm-hmm. is local to the area, localish to the area and stuff like that. Are these places you go to perform and stuff like that?
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about Arise was you get inebriated at these festivals mm-hmm. and you just sit there and you're watching, you know, great music. And then you just see all these people from, you know, performing with fire to just light. And then you have like a row of people just painting to the music too mm-hmm. and everything.
Yeah, it's really
and it's
cool.
just like, you take it all in and it's like you're just in a center, like a bubble of creativity. That's mm-hmm. just incredible. And it's just, you can sit there and just watch for hours.
Most definitely.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested in that aspect, right? So going back a little bit, why did you get into this particular form of performance art? Did you do performance art prior to that? And you were kind of like not so much involved, and then you got into this aspect of it with the danger element. Why did you go into this particular performing art?
Oh man, so this started off like when I was younger. I mean, I've been doing performance arts, I've been in musical theater, I've been spinning and painting arts, and like art has been a part of my life. Like it's an integral part. I've played music, I've been in bands, I've done production work and stage building, and I've done a whole bunch of stuff, and I ended up coming across a performer at the Ren Festival who taught me how to juggle and fire breathe. And that's kind of like where it all kind of took off.
And that just like you immediately were able to pick it up? Like it seems like that's something that you
kind of, it took a lot of practice.
You would have to kind of like practice a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's the part that I want to like, you go and you look at your Instagram, your, you know, all these different feeds, it's the perfect performance. Mm. How did that beginning stage kind of take place? Like, did you actually experience any like health issues when you first started?
Did you go to hospital?
Like, I'm saying like you can't just start off and become amazing at this. I assume like this has to be practiced. So what did that kind of like? Did this person take you on after the Renaissance Fair and kind of show you, or mm-hmm. that was your one like test and you're like, okay, cool, now I'm gonna go do this on my own?
It's like an apprenticeship.
Exactly. Yeah. Apprenticeship was, for performing arts.
Basically, so I met up with that same individual several other times after, and he taught me all the basics, the fundamentals of safety and all that stuff.
Right.
And then kind of like left me to my vices kind of thing. He taught me everything I could, and then it's like I had to go practice it and do it on my own.
Now I'm no longer responsible for your safety.
But he at least, pretty much.
Yeah. You said you will not sue me for this. but, I gave you the name of the special fuel.
But why this? Like you said, like, you know, like there's a lot of other avenues that maybe are more commercial, right? You talk about being in a band, other things. Why this? It seems like it's more singular. It's only you, I assume, right? Is there anybody else performing with you? Or is it just you doing this particular, you know, act in a sort?
I mean, there's huge communities of fire performers all around the world. There is so many other talented individuals everywhere. And I look up to so many people. I follow forums on Facebook all the time. And it's really cool to see so many talented individuals with the same passion that I have, kind of like for the fire arts in just general. And it's really awesome to see. And I'm humbled in a lot of ways when I see a lot of other really cool people that I'm just like, that's awesome. I don't think I'll do that. And, you know,
it's going to be a while before I get there.
It's one of those things. It's like things are still intimidating, even though I've been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know,
like 10 years.
Huh? 10 years.
Like awesome. Practicing that professionally, I've been doing it for 5.
Okay.
but practicing, doing everything I can with the fire arts and stuff like that. So 10.
5 years of practice. So he's saying, just don't go out back with a can of gas and a handful of
definitely matches. Not gas. Never gas.
Why is that? So initially we were talking, I thought it was gas. Why not use gas, which I assume is ethanol at that point, right?
Right, they're basically kind of the same
idea. Is that because of the health risk that you're doing, or is there another reason why you don't just use, we'll call it petroleum or car gas?
Right, so think of it like this. So fuel, as in gasoline, emits a gas,
how it is.
Yeah, the vapor. So you take a match to it and you throw it inside that gas canister or anything, and boom, it causes an explosion, right?
Right.
That's what makes propane grilling fun. I mean.
Right. The fuel I use is a liquid state.
Okay.
So it's basically like an oil.
Gotcha. Okay.
So when you throw a match inside that oil, it goes out. So it's the science behind it. So when I mist that fuel,
right,
and it becomes that fuel, like how I said, you attach that fire to it and boom, that's when it happens.
Yeah, so
science, you know.
There's some sort of chemistry element, right? There's like some
absolutely.
Where did you get that knowledge? Did you have prior knowledge of how to put this stuff together, or was this just something you were taught?
Yeah, I was totally taught this.
Interesting.
Now, you mentioned Renaissance Festival. Is that the one here in Colorado, or was it another one?
Oh, no. So this was when I was living in Virginia. I was in the Navy for quite some time, and then after I got out of the Navy is what I started refining myself again and came across drum circles and the Renaissance Fair and kind of stuff and met some people in the community, and that's where I wiggled my way in and started learning everything since then.
Have you been to the Colorado one?
Oh, yeah, man. Okay. That is super awesome.
That's why I hear it.
Yeah,
the
Ren Fair is amazing here. It's wicked cool. It's probably one of the best I've ever been to.
So
I've been to four different states.
As a kid, I was into all the nerdy stuff. And I remember it was my little sister who's wanted to have her birthday at a Renaissance festival because she was in just the princesses and the horses. typical, my daughter's the same way about that. But actually, my daughter's a huge geek, too. Surprise, surprise in my house. But we went, and I'm this young, these people are so crazy. It's fantastic. I love when people just go all out and are just so invested in this stuff. And it was insane. And I lived in the Kansas City area for a while. Went to that one. But for some reason, I've never been to the Colorado one.
Totally go next year.
It feels like it's at the height of convention season. Mm-hmm. And we're traveling around to all these conventions.
Oh, yeah, that too. It's smack in the middle of summer.
It makes it hard. But, of all the ones, I went to one in Dallas, Texas in the summer. I can handle being outside for a day in Colorado at one too, right? I hear amazing things about it. So, and it's the Ren Fair people. They're always a group of characters. They are.
Oh, yeah.
They're interesting people.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. I guess I'll put it that way. I love a lot of it sounds like I'm saying, but I have a lot of friends that work and act at the Ren Fairs stuff too.
Totally.
But
Ren Fair is wicked.
It's awesome. Just like I said. I think it's with any, and Project Nerd. We always talk about it. And we talked about it this past week too when we were meeting with somebody. We're all about nerding out about whatever you nerd out about. Whatever nerding out to us is whatever you're just so infatuated, you become a fanboy, invested in whatever. And that's, I think, Ren Fair people are the pinnacle of nerding out, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So,
what does that look like? Because I'll be honest, I've never been.
To any Ren Fair?
Y'all are missing out.
let's put it this way. My viewpoint of the Ren Fair is from medieval times. Mm. That's kind of what I'm picturing. A lot of dinner theater kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
So with that very limited viewpoint of what it actually looks like, what does your act look like? Do you go out there and are they hiring you to do your performance, or are you going out there more as yourself and you're just kind of getting into the element of what that particular event kind of shows you? You're doing a performance, you're dressing up. What do you dress up as, or are you just putting on that period's clothing? Does that make sense?
Right. That's a great question, actually. So most clients, whoever you work for or anything like that, it's a Ren Fair, or if it's for a circus or anything like that, they're going to may have a special theme or anything.
Right.
So you're going to have to want to try and go with that. So especially if you just take the Ren Fair idea, kind of look in that Ren Fair medieval knight kind of thing, or a barter kind of idea, and just dress up like that, as long as the clothing is fire safe,
right,
which in most cases, if you're doing your job correctly, you should already know what you're doing, you kind of thing. But there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of technical aspects behind the safety and all that stuff. There's stuff like that. But getting back to the costumes, just do whatever your client asks you kind of idea.
Right.
It's what I kind of go
so
for.
So they're actually asking you to come down there and do your performance, then, right? So,
yeah, and in a lot of ways, yeah.
Yeah, so you're not actually just going out there and like you see with cosplay or any of that. They're showing up to just be more, this is the costume that I want to portray.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually being employed or trying to fit that theme.
Exactly.
What was the, you said Virginia, right? That's where you're from?
Oh, no, I'm originally from Miami.
Miami.
Yeah, I've just been, I've been around.
That 305, yeah, people always tell us. So you go that way. What was your favorite theme? Was there a favorite theme that you really, like, you got behind, like, thank you for letting me do this? Or was it all, like, more, like, medieval kind of stuff?
Well, for the Ren Faire, I only did a touring for a little bit of while. I didn't do too much with them. But in other aspects, like doing festivals and performances, I've done glow paint parties that were really awesome. That was just like EDM music and people watching us like right next to the stage with all the lasers and stuff like that, performing right there. Like right next to some really big artists like Diplo. Or
hard to see
like,
a toilet in a zombie nation.
Yeah, 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 you know, it's that kind of idea. And it's really cool, like the opportunity to go to those festivals and anything like that. Like you mentioned, Arise is one of those like kind of like huge festivals that you can just go out there and just really like be a part of the whole creation of the art behind that whole scene. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a lot of ideas like behind like private parties and events and stuff like that too. So,
do you prefer the events that you go to where you can just do whatever you want?
Yeah, it's
where
kind
you,
of,
you actually get to like, I want to wear this. I want to do this in my performance. Like, it seems like it's a little bit more the performance art aspect, right?
Yeah.
Versus the, I'm just trying to fit the theme of everything else and do what I can do. Where do you ever go as like a patron in that case? Where you just go and show up to a Rise and you're like, I'm going to wear this and it's going to be amazing. For 2 days, I'm just going to do my art.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
do you prefer that over like the performance? Like, because that doesn't seem like a performance. Because that's more geared towards you. Like, you want to do this.
Right.
Where the other part is a performance where you're putting on a costume and almost portraying an act in that way, right?
Right, yeah.
Interesting.
So on the other things that I've mentioned with y'all, so I do a lot of like independent fire performances on my own. I'm a part of a fire performance troupe, and I'm also a part of a circus.
Oh, wow.
Here, based out of here in Colorado, which is really awesome. We can get to that in a moment. But the thing I love most about this is like I think I get the best of both worlds on that. So I can, like, in a lot of the events, like if I just get hired to do my thing, like, hey, we're hiring you, do your fire performance, I can just go out there and just really have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Just kind of be myself and do my thing, play with my props, and still entertain the people and get the job done for the client in a lot of ways. But like, let's say if it's for the circus, it's very performance oriented. Okay, this is the director wants this. Like,
so is it more choreographed at that point? Like, they want you to fit whatever the overall theme of everyone else.
Right. Yeah. So if there's other things going on stage,
the more personal element where it's just you being able to do your performance versus the overall, like, there's a lot of moving parts.
Right.
And you're just a part.
Exactly.
So you prefer, which one do you prefer better?
Oh, man, I love being on stage and like doing the choreographed stuff a lot, because working with so many other talented individuals and like also doing my own thing at the same time with them is exhilarating. It's awesome to have that like connection with other people. And then also like just going out and jamming and having fun is really wicked cool. Like just being able to relax and like be able to just experiment a little bit more is also really fun, instead of doing like the set things.
It's like asking a parent which one of their kids is their favorite.
Right? But there's always a favorite.
No, we don't tell. You don't tell them.
No, you know that they're
not true to my two kids. Not true.
Absolutely is.
Not true. No, I'm just kidding. Winking over.
That's awesome. I'm fascinated by what you do. I've seen a little bit of it through your Facebook page, right? So there's, you know, if people wanted to actually see some of that, right? So we've been talking about it. I feel like talking about it doesn't do it justice.
Right.
With that, it's like a very visual thing. That
wait a second, you did research before?
No. That's
why Carrie is here. That's why Carrie's here.
So with that, like, you know, getting more into the personal stuff, right? So like, this is what you do for fun. Like, how do you get to do this? Like, do you have a job that you work at, or is this something that you're in a troupe, you're in a circus, and that pays you enough to where you can still, you know, kind of follow this particular passion?
Currently, at the moment, I still got a normal 9-to-5 kind of job. You know, pay the bills, keep the thing going, and if I get gigs and stuff like that, that's kind of like supplemental stuff. But in a lot of ways, if I could just be doing the sole performance art thing and just go in that direction and like make it a part of my living, that's what I'm trying to get to, kind of thing.
Do you see people that actually can do that? Like, you're talking about people that you perform with. Is there actually like people that go out there and make this their entire profession?
Most definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And they just go from, you know, event to event, they're kind of on that scene, or?
Mm-hmm. A lot of them could be like locals, or they could be sent around the United States or anything like that to do performances and festivals and stuff like that, or a lot of private gigs, or a lot of times they take those skills that they're doing, like, let's think of like an aerialist, like somebody who like climbs those really awesome silks and things like all that stuff.
Yeah, no,
they
thank
can be.
You.
Yeah, no, not that, that's me, a no thank you right? for me too, man.
Oh, I'll breathe fire, but I'm not going up.
Yeah,
there.
Like, right.
You see, we all have our things. We all have our things.
Yeah, I'm totally okay with that, but not getting up on the thing and like doing all these crazy stuff and like almost falling to my death. You know, but I will take care of them, and that's a part of my job. But that's another thing. We're digressing.
Yeah.
So like a lot of people that I know, I know that they can supplement their entire lives by being like an instructor and teaching those skills to other people who are wanting to learn. And that's kind of like their day job. And then they also do like the performances and stuff like that as well. It's kind of like me. I have my normal day job. And then like once I'm out of work, I'm on everything on the performance troupe. I'm communicating with people, talking about gigs, organizing things, and just keeping everything orderly. And man, my hands are full. I was putting out fires before I even came here.
Oh, wow.
Like
literally and figuratively.
I'll be putting out fires tonight at a gig. Literally and figuratively.
No, I think a big thing you touch on there, the teaching part, you know, you always hear that those who can't do teach. And it's like, once I've entered this, I call it the geek community, from the costuming to the stuff we're doing, to the like anything that's the Renaissance Festival conventions, all this type of stuff.
Totally.
I consider it all one big geek community. And the people there that it thankful for the people that teach, because those are the ones that know how to do it. That's for sure. Like that line does not work in this community, because it's for sure. And we've always taught with Project Nerd, like when you're trying to learn to do something, just go pick people's brains for it. Because we've always been the outsiders of the world anyways. So we're happy to sit there and hang out with the other outsiders of the world and teach them and stuff like that. But I know Carrie's super excited about this flame throwing, like fire breathing. I know you've had some great questions too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also want to, with the theme of I'm Not Famous, I don't want to concentrate everything on that. Beforehand, you mentioned you're big into anime and video games as well.
Oh yeah, man. I love
it. So what game are you playing right now?
Oh my God, I got my hands full. So currently, my wife and I just got her into Chrono Trigger.
Okay.
So I'm basically like her walkthrough. I don't know if you guys ever played the game
going
before.
Old school.
Yeah, like Super Nintendo old school game. But we bought it for the PlayStation, and we're playing it with through the PlayStation.
Do they have a port on the PlayStation, like on their online store, or an actual game?
Oh no, so like the game was released with Final Fantasy IV on a dual disc system, like thing.
Didn't know
so
this like is a thing.
Yeah, so they. I mean, it was like way back when PlayStation was like.
Oh, okay.
Like yeah, and then like they released both of them, and Chrono Trigger came out for Super Nintendo, and it's, if you talk to any nerd that loves video games, Chrono Trigger is like one of the top games that like if you they love RPG, it's up there.
Oh, you're talking like PlayStation.
No, this is Super Nintendo, dude.
Super Nintendo. Yeah. See, I'm thinking when you said a port for the PlayStation, I'm thinking like.
They released the game onto PlayStation, and then you could just play it. It's the same game with just like a little few added on features and stuff like that, but the game is incredible. Going through that right now, I mean, I'm still touching in on a couple other games myself. Still playing Breath of the Wild a lot, which is Zelda.
I brought my kid, I say my Switch. My kids got a Switch for their birthdays this year, last weekend. They're not here. The Switch is here. So, I mean, we all benefit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm pretty excited for Breath of the Wild.
It's one of the best games I've ever put my hands
on. That's what people like to say about it.
I mean, I played a wide variety of games, you know, everything from Super Nintendo. I mean, I grew up on that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, Final Fantasy games, which is really awesome. I love that whole series. And
What do you think of the new platform? So, you're talking like, for us, we get it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, some of the audience won't really remember playing Super Nintendo because they never had it, right? Or they're playing emulators now on a computer. So do you like the new formats? You know, the PS4s, the Xbox Ones, the online aspect. Do you like that more so than you like the older style? It seems like you like that older style where it's more personal. Because I assume that those aren't online games that you're playing if it's that far back, right?
Yeah, you got to find those.
So those are story mode. Story mode, kids, is the actual game.
Well, there are. I mean, there are games released these days that have like they're even killing campaign. I mean, pretty sure is it with the new Call of Duty that's coming out this year? Like,
it's
not even gonna have a campaign.
Playing?
It's all an online game.
Yeah.
And there's certain ones where it's like, yeah, there's multiplayer, but only online. And I'm like. Right. What happened? I want to sit in the living room with a friend.
It's like going GoldenEye. Like, I'm going like.
Yeah.
GoldenEye.
Quit screen hooking.
Right.
Quit screen hooking.
Right. No, I'm like the little dude.
Yeah. Odd job.
Golden
you can't
gun.
Shoot him, golden gun.
Proximity mines.
You can't. I was the one, mostly because he matched my body size. But he couldn't get killed until people like throw like a landmine or they would come out.
Those
with
proximity
the,
mines,
exactly,
dude.
Yeah, dude, they
the
do
worst.
A great job.
Why do they put that in games? Who uses those?
Proximity
like,
mines.
You know what? I'm going to wait 3 minutes until you hit my mind to kill you. Like, it's those people. How do you? So, going to video games, do you like the people that camp out? Oh, no. Like the sniper mode.
Nobody
snipers
has.
Are
Nobody
horrible.
Likes a camper.
And if you hide, you're a horrible person. Yeah. You are a horrible...
No. Come out and fight.
But I don't get it.
There's a difference there, because sometimes it was fun back in the earlier Halo days when you play all snipers.
Like the original Halo.
That's cool.
Yeah, so you'd play all snipers on a huge map with like four of you, like on like a Sidewinder. Four of you. And it's like, that game could go on for eight hours and one person would have five kills because you never found anybody else. And then next thing you know, somebody sniped you. That element, it's fun.
Right.
But when you've got like 12 on 12 going at Blood Gulch and somebody's just sitting by that portal, you're like, you dirty whore.
Yeah.
You dirty whore.
You're a horrible person.
Exactly.
I have no respect for those people at all. Like, I don't think there should be... At first, like, where I have to get shot like 10 times to die in a video game, I want the golden gun back. Because that's real, right? Like, one time you're done. Not like, hang on, let me put on my body armor where you shoot me with a machine rifle for 10 shots and I'm still alive. And I just knifed you. You know, or the sniper shot you over my head. It's horrible. I like the old RPG games from like the original stuff. I even go like Dreamcast, and there's some really good stuff with the Dreamcast, or go Sega. The new formats, I maybe it's just the dexterity. I have a hard time playing it. Do you find like there's a difference in playing like the old Super Nintendo style versus now like PS4 with a touchpad? Do you like that new format?
I love all the new technology that's been coming out with the systems. I think it's awesome and it's a great time to be alive for a gamer, especially all the cool ideas for like the VR and stuff like that that they're starting to like put together, and like those really cool simulators that you can like run in place and like play the games and stuff. That's freaking awesome.
We were set up Colorado Springs Comic Con in the gaming room, and they had the virtual reality like dealer had like three setups across from us.
That's
and the
people super were just, cool.
So you're basically playing paintball with a machine on your head.
Essentially.
Instead of going outside and actually playing
doing
the
thing, right?
Yeah. Playing, you're going to put on a virtual reality machine.
First of all, fellow Ginger, we don't go outside. We burn. We burn out there.
Paintball is done at dark.
Done at dark? Yeah. You can't see anything.
Well, I love it because there's so many, like, you freeze the paintball so you can really hurt some.
Wow.
Stop giving the kids ideas.
No,
the more you know.
If you're playing paintball, you know that. You're in the ghillie suit with frozen pellets and you're hitting people because you're a horrible sniper and you're a horrible person.
Portal camping and paintball.
Exactly.
What are you doing?
The same thing you did in the RPG game you just played online. No, I'm always, but let's switch it, right? I love your shirt.
Oh, thanks.
Are you into this whole like Rick and Morty thing? You're into that whole stuff. I got to ask that. What is your favorite Rick and Morty episode? I'm always I think it tells a person by their favorite episode.
Really?
Yeah, I think it does.
I think it kind of does too.
Yeah.
Like if you
all right, so we're going
to
all pick our favorite episode, and then you're going to interpret what that tells about us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You're on the spot.
Yeah,
you're
me?
You're the guest.
I'm going to go with it.
I also have to think for a minute.
Yeah, you're getting me a second because there's a lot of episodes. And
It's a loaded question.
Yeah, it is a loaded question.
So was it go back... Pick your favorite child.
Well, you're asking. You're asking. Then, what do you already have?
I love
one?
The Meeseeks episode. I think that it's one of the.
Nice.
It's to me. Well, as an avid golfer, there's a golf element, but there's so many storylines within
one.
That
yeah.
episode, and the idea of like a genie not being able to leave until they do what you told them to do. I think is an amazing concept. Like you don't see that stuff. And this is what I love about Rick and Morty, right? Yeah. And taking it more as a broader scale, you're seeing stuff that you've never seen before, right? None of these episodes you've ever seen on another platform somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So like Meeseeks, you watch that and it's like the first time like, well, I don't just get three wishes. You know, you have to stay with me. Like, you don't just grant this and I magically get to do it. Yeah. I think it's an amazing element of the show. And it really, I think, at the beginning, right, it's first season, if I remember right.
I'm pretty sure it's first season.
So that's kind of now, like, now we're three seasons in and you're starting, like, you kind of see maybe what happens. Mm-hmm. But there you had no idea who these people were.
Yeah.
Or what was going to happen.
Yeah, what was going to go
and
on.
You're watching it purely for entertainment. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you're the same as me. We've watched so many TV shows and movies where you kind of get an idea of how it's going to arc.
Yeah.
You're like, here's where this happens. Cool.
Yeah, you think with Rick and Morty, though, I still think it throws you some good curveballs.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's the only, like, in most TV shows nowadays or any movie or platform that you watch, there's always an element where you kind of know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? With Rick and Morty, I don't think you, because it's a whole new universe. And the way Dan Harmon created it, I think, and Justin Roiland, or however you say his name, I think it's an amazing atmosphere that you get to watch him. There's no limitations, I guess, is the best part. So I think that's kind of where, when I watched it, I realized it was not going to be anything I watched before. So that's why I think there's multiple elements of that episode that I find fascinating. But I think just the idea of them continuing to now get more Meeseeks for them to help.
Right. Yeah.
You need to help me, not a human or whatever. You're going to help me. And we got to try to figure out how we can improve his golf game. And I think the way the episode goes is amazing. So that's why my long-winded way of saying it, my favorite episode. But I gave you plenty of time now to figure out your own.
All right. I really love Total Recall. I think that's probably one of my favorites. It's the one where he escapes from the prison, and then he like transfers his brain into another person, and then like.
And the one where he's like, "I swear to God, if there's a penis on that screen, they hate male nudity."
I'm gonna go take a shit.
It's the Shonies, right? It's episode one of season three.
Yeah,
I can't believe we didn't have some big elaborate thing of how you escaped that. Now we're here together in the Shonies.
But they also brought in a lot of elements there, because that's when the Szechuan sauce episode, mm-hmm. and now it became a commercial. Isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
Because then McDonald's they re-release
the sauce. And, yeah.
It's too much.
I love it because it's Mulan. There's so many things in that episode that you're like, you have to rewatch it, right, to get a lot of the references. Mm-hmm. But and obviously Nathan Fillion did a guest star and voice in that episode.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a really good episode. I like that.
I don't know the name of the episode, but probably the one where they're figuring out who's real and who's not.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, the Parasites.
Is the Parasites, yeah. And then was it Mr. Poopy Pants?
Mr. Poopy Butthole.
Poopy Butthole. And he's like, I'm sorry that you don't have any bad memories of me. After she's like, she's like terrible.
It's fucking great.
Is that just because of the multiple things, or just like that particular character that has now become a theme through the entire seasons?
I love how it's one of those episodes where you're just like, this is so outlandishly ridiculous.
Yeah.
Every Rick and Morty episode's outlandishly ridiculous.
Yeah, they go there.
Like Pickle Rick in like some spy action thriller movie.
I'd be honest, like everybody loves that episode. I don't understand why people like that.
Oh, just for the ending alone, the post-credit scene where he comes back
Jaguar
and saves him.
But Jaguar is the whole saving grace.
Yeah, he saves him on the piano.
It's not even about Pickle Rick. It should be called Jaguar, because him and the element of his dead daughter that nobody gets to. In the end episode,
yeah, he's like, wait, there's multiverses, so there's more versions of my daughter? Nope.
Sorry,
I said anything.
He's a pickle. And then Susan Sarandon playing the therapist role was hilarious. It's one of the only episodes where somebody calls Rick out on his shit, right?
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest things that you can see. But I don't understand why, like, that's the whole, like, it's like Die Hard Rick and Morty style.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, so there's nothing wrong with that last sentence you said there. Exactly.
But I feel like that's what I kind of predicted would eventually be an episode. It's like, oh, he's going to be the rescue, the savior, all of that. I like that at the end of the episode, he's still kind of sitting in the chair, strapped in, and they're talking about going to therapy again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
The end credits scene is great, but I like the way that it ended with the daughter.
Well, it'll hit you with some real moments on that show, for sure.
Yeah, there's some really
I just love, like, so this vial full of, like, stuff, it's...
It has nothing to do.
Nothing to do with
me being a pickle.
And my favorite thing was when he starts talking about brining. I'm huge into like brining like meat, so it's like when he's like, just start brining. No, way too much moisture. Way too much moisture.
All right. So we're gonna close this out on Rick and Morty, but before we go, is there any place we can find? You mentioned too, videos would be great, like stuff. So where can people find that online to actually see what you're talking about?
My personal page. If you just look up my name, I have my Facebook is open to anybody who wants to friend me. I'm just kind of like a generally normal guy, and I post up a lot of content there.
Okay.
But videos and stuff like that is my Instagram. Handles is 8gizmo, 8.
Gizmo, like Gremlins Gizmo?
Yeah, like
Well, you also talk about that people can hire you as well. So is there way for, people that maybe want to put on that performance, you say, hiring you out, I assume that's not, is that through your Facebook as well, or is that through a different avenue?
That would be a different avenue. Is that outlet is through Facebook as well, but it's A Thirst to Burn is my fire.
Thirst to Burn.
A Thirst to
Burn. It's going to be an ever-running joke on the series that's going to point at the wrong camera. All right.
So A Thirst to Burn is
my fire performance troupe that I co-founded with a bunch of good friends of mine here in Colorado. We're doing a fire performance tonight, which is really fun.
Awesome.
In Boulder. You guys should come out.
If they let me out of here on time. No, I'm the one in charge here.
Yeah.
No. Awesome, man. Well, it's been a blast.
Yeah, dude, thank you for
having me. I probably will learn more on this episode than anything else. mainly because we're going to eat lunch here soon, and then I'm just not going to learn anything after that. But no, actually, because there's a lot of great information, too, and a great way to find that stuff. So, yeah, definitely hit them up. As for that, this is obviously Project Nerd. I'm not famous, but we'll see you next week on another fun episode.